Good morning, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. And I'm here running solo today. Austin has been so kind for me that he ran most of last week and yesterday. And so he's taking some time off, as I did last week. And so I appreciate you guys giving us the slack to be able to do that. You know, it's a lot of stuff going on an ongoing basis from the news cycle, and we try our best to cover it. But, you know, being a live broadcast every single day, 5 days a week, it takes a toll on us as far as not being able to go anywhere or do anything. And so this past week, I was able to actually go down to Aruba and to spend a few days down there. I got to fly for free and got to stay for free and, you know, on airline points and hotel points. And so that was a blast. And so I went down there, and it's like 85 degrees, clear blue skies, a light sea breeze, and then I come back to Florida last night. Oh, my goodness, guys. I had no idea how cold it was here. It was in the mid-30s last night. It froze again last night. Water hoses were frozen. About half the plants that are outside are kind of looking pretty bad right now. And so I didn't realize how nice Aruba was. But the funny part about it is that when you go through security now at the airports, it's a major, major hassle because of what's happening with, you know, with MAGA and with what's happening as far as the ability to get back into and out of the country as far as a lot of restrictions now. So that was interesting. So when I get a chance, probably not on today's broadcast, I'll tell you some of the stories of that. But I ran into some crazy people at Border Control, and I tell you what, there's some mean people out there. I just thought I'd mention that to you. But today I want to talk to you a little bit to start with. You know, we have a NAC, N-acetylcysteine is on sale for the last day. And I want to cover some of the benefits of N-acetylcysteine. And we're going to talk a bunch about the news. N-acetylcysteine is a supplemental form of cysteine, a conditionally essential amino acid. NAC has many health benefits, including replenishing antioxidants and nourishing your brain. NAC is considered conditionally essential because your body can produce it from other amino acids. It becomes essential only when the dietary intake of methionine and serine is low. Cysteine is found in most high-protein foods such as chicken, turkey, yogurt, cheese, eggs, sunflower seeds, and legumes. Consuming adequate cysteine and NAC is important for various health reasons, including replenishing the most potent antioxidant in your body, glutathione. These amino acids are also help with chronic respiratory conditions, fertility, and brain health. Now, let me cover some of the top benefits of NAC. Essential for making the powerful antioxidant glutathione, it is valued primarily in its role for antioxidant production. Glutathione is one of the body's most important antioxidants, compounds that help neutralize free radicals that can damage cells and tissues. Antioxidants help support the body's natural immune system and toxin elimination processes. Research also suggests that antioxidant intake can reduce the risk of several chronic conditions, including cardiovascular disease. Very important. Number two, and Austin and I have talked about this in depth before, it helps with detoxification to prevent or to diminish kidney and liver damage. NAC plays an important role in your body's detoxification process. It can help prevent side effects of environmental toxin exposure. Like you go out and you get exposed to acetaminophen, like, you know, Tylenol, or you go out drinking, which you shouldn't be doing, and you start having liver issues. It can help to detoxify your body. Doctors regularly give intravenous NAC to people with acetaminophen overdose to prevent or reduce kidney and liver damage. NAC, I've also posted this article, by the way, on the Health Master's website. NAC has applications for other liver diseases thanks to its antioxidant and inflammatory benefits. Number three, it may improve mental health conditions and substance use disorder. NAC helps regulate glutathione and glutamate levels, the body's most important neurotransmitter. While glutamate is required for regular brain activity, excess glutamate and glutathione depletion can cause brain damage. This may contribute to mental health conditions such as bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, obsessive compulsive disorder, and other substance use disorder. For people with bipolar disorder and depression, NAC may help decrease symptoms and improve quality of life. Moreover, research suggests that it may play a role in treating moderate to severe OCD. Likewise, an animal study suggests that NAC may minimize the adverse effects of schizophrenia, such as social withdrawal, apathy, and reduced attention spans. Now, I'm not making any claims here. I'm reading you from a journal here, and I'll post it again, like I mentioned. NAC may also have applications with managing substance abuse disorders. For example, preliminary studies show NAC may decrease cannabis and nicotine use and cravings. Number four, helps relieve symptoms of respiratory conditions. NAC can relieve symptoms of respiratory conditions by acting as an antioxidant and expectorant, loosening mucus in air passageways. As an antioxidant, NAC helps replenish glutathione levels in your lungs and reduces inflammation in your bronchial tubes and lung tissue. People with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease experience long-term oxidative damage and inflammation of lung tissue, which causes airways to constrict, leading to shortness of breath and coughing. Some studies suggest that taking NAC supplements can help improve COPD symptoms, exacerbations, and lung decline. People with chronic bronchitis can also benefit from NAC. By thinning mucus in your bronchial tubes and boosting glutathione levels, NAC may help to decrease the severity and frequency of wheezing, coughing, and respiratory attacks. Now, another thing that it does, it really helps to boost brain health by regulating glutamate and replenishing glutathione. NAC's ability to replenish glutathione or regulate brain glutamate levels can boost brain health. The neurotransmitter glutamate is involved in a broad range of learning, behavior, and memory functions, while the antioxidant glutathione helps reduce brain cell oxidative damage associated with aging. Because NAC helps regulate glutamate levels and replenish glutathione, it may benefit those with health conditions affecting brain and memory. Now listen to this one. Alzheimer's disease shows down learning and memory capacity. Animal studies suggest that NAC may slow the loss of thinking in people with Alzheimer's disease. Not making claims, I'm reading the article. Parkinson's disease is characterized by the deterioration of cells that generate the neurotransmitter dopamine, both oxidative damage to cells and decrease in antioxidant ability to the disease. Now, NAC supplements appear to increase both dopamine function and disease symptoms such as tremors, to improve these types of conditions. While NAC may improve brain health, more human research is needed to make these conclusions. It may improve fertility in both men and women. In some cases, it's been shown to improve male fertility. Approximately 15% of all couples trying to conceive are affected by infertility. In almost half of the cases, male fertility is the main contributing factor. Many male infertility issues increase when antioxidants are insufficient to address free radical formation in the reproductive system. Let me stop and pull off the article for 1 second. This is really important because, my late wife Sharon had a problem with infertility. She said that her mom had taken diethylstilbestrol when she was pregnant with Sharon, and the women who took the DES basically had women who were extremely infertile and had men who ended up with a lot of testicular cancer. This is a hormone they gave these women back in the 50s and the 40s in order to supposedly help the pregnancy along. And what I've learned over and over again is when you start giving drugs to a pregnant woman, that you have all kinds of side effects. Another study just came out, I read it yesterday, it said if a woman drinks just a little bit while she's pregnant, well, she should never touch alcohol when she's pregnant, it massively increases the risk of that child becoming alcohol dependent and an alcoholic. You think, well, it shouldn't be that way. I've seen it repeatedly. People whose mother drank end up being alcoholics. They end up also with a lot of problems with hypoglycemia and a lot of other issues. But a woman who's pregnant should never, ever, ever use alcohol, period. Also, people don't realize that 50% of the men, they just said this, are the problem as far as getting their wives pregnant. They have lower sperm quality, because lower sperm count. They have lowered libido. And, it's so funny because I was talking to a doctor friend of ours many years ago when we were Sharon was going through infertility treatments. And one of the first things they wanted to do is test me to make sure that I was okay and I was fine. And the crazy part about all of this stuff is that when you stop and you look at it, you think, well, how in the world does this happen? How does a man have a problem? Well, one of the primary reasons that a man has a problem with low sperm count is zinc. You need about 100 milligrams a day of zinc if you're trying to get your wife pregnant. I know that's kind of a crude way of saying it, but it's true. If you don't, the sperm quality goes way, way down. And when the sperm and the egg go together, there's actually a spark released. You could call it a spark of life, whatever you want to call it. It's actually like an arc. And there's actually, it's a physical flash. I mean, it really is. Some people say it's when the soul becomes implanted. Some people say it's when the egg gets, implanted. But what happens is if that spark is really dull and very, very low, very difficult to get the egg basically, fertilized. And the studies have shown that the guys who have the most zinc have the brightest sparks when the egg and the sperm meet. So if you have a problem, and now a lot of you guys are laughing and going, oh, I can't believe you're talking about this right now. Stop. If you've got a problem with infertility and you've been trying for months or years to get pregnant, it's not a joke. Sharon ended up going through, in vitro fertilization, all kinds of stuff, having an injector every day. It was awful. It was one of the worst experiences of our lives together, having to deal with all that. And then if you have miscarriage problems, you start having issues with progesterone levels, et cetera. It's awful when a woman goes through that. And so now, you know, we've got a whole bunch of other people, and the studies have shown out of China that are having really hard time getting pregnant. And they're saying a lot of it's because of the COVID shot. And now they can't get pregnant or maintain pregnancies. And there's a massive drop off as far as population density and the amount of people in China. Well, this is exactly what Bill Gates and the gang wanted. Remember, they said they could actually help to modulate and to regulate fertility and birth rates in the world by using vaccines. Bill Gates' words, not mine. And that's exactly what they did with COVID. So when you inject 5 billion people with a mRNA vaccine that causes a massive increase in infertility, and it causes a problem with testicles, and it causes a problem with ovaries, and they attach themselves to the testicles and to the ovaries, there's a high probability that individual may not get pregnant again. Now, a lot of you have been able to get pregnant again. A lot of you have been using NAC supplements to get pregnant and other types of supplements to get pregnant. I'm making no claims whatsoever. What I'm saying is this, is when you have problems associated with fertility, it's a big deal. And 50% of the time, it's going to be a man. I've got a friend of mine, they're Italians. And the lady basically was, you know, I met her in my clinic many, many years ago, good friends. And I won't mention any names here. And she ended up having a problem, you know, with, you know, not being able to get pregnant. And what ended up happening is, as they had this issue with not getting pregnant, I told the man, I said, you need to get checked. I don't want to do that. I'm like, you need to get checked. And finally, they realized that, you know, after they had gone through years of infertility, it was his problem, not hers. And see, and that's the major problem that you run into when you start seeing people that basically are having health issues and they don't want to deal with the issues. Well, they ended up never having children. They had to adopt a child. So it's a major issue when you run into this with people, because fertility and infertility issues are not a joke. And I remember one time I was sitting in a clinic, I think it was up in North Carolina, Ohio, I believe it was. And we were having to have Sharon's, you know, cycle, because we were on the road traveling, and we were having to monitor her ovulation cycle. And I remember there were all these women in there, and they all were unbelievably upset. And I asked them, there were like 30 women in this room waiting to get tested. And I said, how many of your mothers took diethylstilbestrol when they were pregnant with you? And literally every single woman raised their hands. It's a major issue. So when you have these drugs that are administered to women routinely, even COVID shots, it massively decreases fertility in some cases. But let's go back to this. About approximately 15% of all couples trying to conceive are affected by infertility. And almost half of these cases, male infertility is the main contributing factor. Many male infertility issues increase when antioxidant levels are insufficient to address free radical formation to the reproductive system. One condition contributing to male fertility is varicocele, which veins inside of the scrotum enlarge due to free radical damage. In one study, 35 men had this problem. They received 600 milligrams of NAC for daily for 3 months after surgery, and the combination of surgery and the NAC supplementation improved the integrity of the sperm. In addition, NAC may improve fertility in older women and those with polycystic ovarian syndromes. And again, this article's making these statements. I'm not. These are not claims that we're making at Health Masters. Number 7, may stabilize blood sugar by decreasing inflammation in fat cells. High blood sugar and obesity contribute to inflammation in fat tissue. This can damage or destroy insulin receptors and increase the risk of type 2 diabetes. Animal studies have shown that NAC may stabilize blood sugar by decreasing the inflammation in fat cells and thereby improving insulin resistance. When insulin receptors are intact and healthy, they properly remove sugar from your blood, keeping levels within normal limits. I didn't know that about NAC. May reduce risk of heart disease risk by preventing oxidative damage. Oxidative damage to the heart tissue can often lead to heart disease, causing strokes, heart attacks, and other severe conditions. NAC may reduce heart risk by reducing oxidative damage to tissues to your heart. Number 9, the ability to boost glutathione levels may improve immune function. Dosage. There's no specific dietary recommendation for L-cysteine because your body can produce small amounts. But I wanted you guys to realize how important it is. And right now, Health Masters, it's the final day right now. N-acetylcysteine is on sale right now for, 24% off. It's normally $38.99. We have it on sale for $29.63, and it's through today. So if you guys want to get a hold of that, you have to go to the website today and get that done. But I want to cover that today because it's so important that people realize what N-acetylcysteine will do. You know, Austin always talks about it. Like, you go out and you go drinking, and you start having problems with your liver, to take the NAC. Well, it's way more than that. I remember a couple months ago I was doing a show with Austin, and we were talking about NAC, and we started realizing how much more it does than people even realize what it does. Now, I want to cover this too, because, you know, I've been gone down for the last, you know, 4 or 5 days, and I've been watching this storm of, you know, MAGA versus MAGA, and who's winning the right-wing media meltdown. Tucker Carlson versus Ben Shapiro. Candace Owens versus Mark Levin. A year into Trump's 2.0, the country's conservative firebrands are at war over Charlie Kirk, Israel, and anti-Semitism. I wanted to go into detail on this today. I thought it was a pretty good article. The vile videos pile up like coconuts on an island. Each conspiracy offers more outlandish and hateful theory that the next jostling to outdo a rival before the rival can outdo them. Theories about how the Jews killed Charlie Kirk. I never said the Jews killed Charlie Kirk. Thought I'd mention that. I think Mossad did it. I told you that the second day we found came on the air. You know, how the Jews ran the slave business. A lot of research shows that a lot of the Jewish people that were marketing out of England were running the slave business, whether you want to believe that or not. You can do your own research. How the Jews had prior knowledge of 9/11. And, you know, and what happened with all of that. So there are all kinds of things that are out there. These are piling up, they're saying, theories about what is going on. The MAGA movement is, in a word, cracking up, both splitting in two and sending some of the most prominent voices to crazy town. On podcasts and YouTube shows every day, right-wing personalities, often the country's most popular infotainers, and the stars of the doom scroll era, break away from mainstream MAGAism and widen the gap with who they left behind. They're forming sides. Tucker Carlson and Megha Kelly, Candace Owens and Steve Bannon, Nick Fuentes on one end, Laura Luma and Ben Shapiro, and Alex Jones and Joe Rogan on the other, keeping track of the beefs and alliances can dizzying up most alert student. This is the inevitable endpoint of information overload, with so many hours to fill and so little attention, economy, real estate to grab. Political shock jockery becomes the only trick to reach for. This is also one, perhaps must add, the inevitable endgame of a party that has been allowed in provocateur bigots. I disagree with that. In some cases, it may be true. Now, I'm going to stop for 1 second. A bigot is a person who is diametrically opposed to another person's belief system. Okay, if I tell you I'm bigoted towards pedophiles, that's a fact. So you can say, well, Ted Brewer's a bigot because he doesn't like pedophiles. Okay, that's a true statement. If you want to make me a bigot, you can make me a bigot because of that. But, you know, there's a difference between bigots and racism. Racism says that I believe that if you're white, you're superior to a black person. I don't believe that at all. Period. I don't believe that at all. And so that's racism, and that's pretty ugly, because we're all created in God's image. But bigotry against certain belief structures, as my opinion, there's nothing wrong with it. A strongly held belief against somebody else's values, if they have values at all, because I don't think pedophilia is a value at all. I think it's a nightmare. And white capitalism and other forms of hatred move like a stain. Once spilled, they spread across the carpet. The rift went on full display after the assassination of Kirk. In life, he sought to invite debate between dissenting points. In death, he's become a vehicle for yelled derangement. Donald Trump refuses to step in. This fight concerns the future of the party, and he remains a man of the immediate present. And so the beef wage on, and hosts unleashing the theories and insults, aligning and then realigning until they're all blur. But don't let the full chaos lull you into dismissing this is just another pundit food fight. Real ideological battles lie at its core, and serious and unnerving questions persist about the kind of party Republicans want. Now, I'm going to stop here for 1 second. We've got all kinds of people out there that have opinions on stuff. And I like the fact that we have different people having different opinions on different topics. That doesn't mean they're right. It doesn't mean they're wrong. It just means they're different than maybe your opinions are. But we all need to like do like Charlie Kirk did and respect one another's opinions. There's no reason to get angry at somebody if they don't agree with you. There's not. Now, if it affects your direct family and you've got a problem with somebody wanting to mess with your children, okay, get angry, get mad, do whatever you have to do to correct this and get away from those types of people. I learned a long time ago, there's certain people I don't want to have anything to do with, period. If someone doesn't benefit you as far as from a relationship standpoint, if you can't create synergy, let me give you an example of what synergy is. You take three strands of rope, and each strand will hold, you know, 1 pound, make it easy. So each rope individually will hold a pound. You twine them together, and now that rope twined together with the three strands will hold 25 pounds. is synergistic. Each strand itself makes the other strands stronger until they're capable of doing a lot more together. If you're in a good relationship with your friends or with your wife or with your spouse or with your whoever you have, your, my customers, I love you guys, you know, because you support us, our supporters. You know, we have a synergistic relationship. You know, we try to make you better. You try to make us better. You support us. We support you. And it becomes a great relationship. That's the relationship that you look for in the real world. That's what you want in your life. If you're with a woman or with a man who's in agreement with you on the on most of your base values, you could work on a synergistic relationship and build that base value together. Let me give you an example. You know, when Sharon and I got together and we got married many, many years ago, our base values were the same. We both wanted to go to church. We both wanted to pray together. We both wanted to do what was right in God's eyes. We both wanted to, you know, have a great marriage. We both wanted to be good finders, to find the best thing we could find in each other. And we built each other up every single day, all the time, all the time, all the time, until the relationship became so synergistic that we literally could answer each other's sentences. You know, she was my true love. I'll never forget, I had a man, a good friend of mine, his name is Jay Sparks. And, you know, when Sharon died, we were at the funeral together, and I mean, I was just, I'm just in tears. And I remember Jay said to me, he goes, you realize how blessed you are? And I said, blessed? I said, Jay, what is wrong with you? I said, we're burying my wife of 38 years. And he goes, you had a true love. He goes, do you realize how rare that is? He goes, I'm almost 60 years old. I've never had one. And he goes, you guys had this most amazing marriage ever. And I thought about it. I thought, you know, he's right. You don't look at what you lose. You look at what you had and look what you have left. And you have the ability to have another relationship with another person that you can be with if you can find somebody else who's compatible and synergistic with you. And that's the problem that I have with a lot of people. They're not synergistic. They basically create a problem for you in everything that they do. They have a lifestyle diametrically opposed to you. Okay? And so when you're around them, it's constant conflict. You think, well, what are you talking about? Well, some people have different beliefs and different values. If you're dating somebody, and this is so important, it's important that you discuss vaccinations. You do. It's critical. It's important how you're going to that you discuss how you're going to eat. I've got a friend of mine. He was had a big ministry out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm not going to mention any names. And I remember his son married this girl who had lost like 100 pounds. And my hat's off to her. Congratulations on that. But her diet was basically forced on her. She did not want to eat the food she was eating to lose the 100 pounds because she wanted to lose before she got married. And then after they got married, she started feeding him the same way she had eaten before she'd gained all the weight. And he ended up gaining 100 pounds, and she gained her 100 pounds back plus more. You think, well, that was his fault. Well, it is his fault because he chose badly with her as far as her dietary regime. But the reality is he didn't have to go along with it. He could have said, no, I'm not going to eat that. But that creates a real problem in a marriage. If the wife wants to eat a certain way and you want to eat another way, or the husband wants to eat a certain way and the wife wants to eat a certain way. So it's easier to make sure that when you find somebody that you're going to be dating, that everybody has the same value system on the basis. You want to go to church. You want to pray together. You want to raise your kids in a Christian environment. You maybe want to put your children, in a Christian place where you can basically have them in school where they're going to be learning about the Bible. There's all kinds of things that you have to do. But the first one I mentioned is the most important one, in my opinion, are the vaccines. If you're in a situation where your wife and your mother-in-law, because you can have a real problem with mother-in-laws, guys, I promise you that. If your wife and your mother-in-law, who has your wife's ear constantly in most cases, don't want you to basically eat clean, or they want to have vaccinations, all 72 vaccines on the schedule, and you say, I don't want to do that, I can promise you it's going to be a pain. It really is. If you're with somebody and that person basically is a slob, let's be real with that. Let's just talk. We're doing real here. We're doing a fireside chat here today. And the person is a slob. And you go, well, you know, you won't do dishes. You won't do laundry. And you remember, you're both working together to do dishes and laundry. So the husband ends up doing the dishes and he ends up doing the laundry. And the wife wants to sit around and watch soap operas all day, or watch TV all day, or watch Netflix all day. That's going to be a problem. Sooner or later, the husband's going to get tired of carrying the load, and he's not going to want to clean up his wife's mess, and she doesn't want to clean up his mess. It's got to be synergistic. I can't tell you how many dishes I did while Sharon and I were married. And I finally told the kids, I said, it's not a big deal. It's dishes. Everybody uses dishes. Everybody's got to wash dishes. Everybody's got to clean dishes, or the house turns into a mess. I knew a guy in Tallahassee. He was on the road working all the time, and he left, and he came home, and the entire sink was piled with dishes literally 4 feet high. and every single dish in the house had been used, and the wife had refused to do a single dish while he was gone. And the dishes were covered in Florida. You get roaches. The dishes were covered with those small little German roaches that were all, I don't know why they have to call them German roaches. I don't like that. But the whole sink was filled with roaches. And the guy came home he just said, "What is wrong with you?" You know, the laundry was piled, you know, to the ceiling. The dishes were, you know, not being done. And she simply would not do anything. You think, well, that's no big deal. It becomes a big deal over a period of time. If you're with somebody who's a slob, they really need to start making those changes to try to help keep the place clean, because it works a lot better when one person doesn't have to pull the full load. Just thought I'd mention that. So we got here talking about this because people need to realize that all these different people that are in the MAGA movement, if you want to call it the MAGA movement or the truth movement, I'd rather call it that, because the MAGA movement's got gone sideways. You can basically listen to what they have to say. Here we go. "Not to be outdone, Owens has spent much of her recent airtime telling viewers that Jews are the source of the world's problems." Now, let me stop here for a second. Since I made that statement here from what Owens has said, according to what they're saying here, I don't believe that Jews are the source of the world's problems. I believe that the international banking cartel, the synagogue of Satan, the Kabbalist Luciferian synagogue of Satan, are the source of the world's problems because they work directly with Lucifer. And he's a liar from the beginning, and that's what he does. I believe that is the primary source. I cover that in detail in Angel Wars. Loomer struck back. Shapiro struck back. Jones struck back. You know, things are going on bottom up with Alex Jones becomes the voice of reason. I thought that was funny. It didn't move Carlson and Kennedy. They stuck with Owens. How this all resolves depends on so many factors. Global news events from Minneapolis to Tehran, the ongoing see no evil from the president, and the cozying up of Vice President J.D. Vance to Kelly to Carlson and to Kelly, the limits to conspiracy cravings of the American people, and it will turn lead to many consequences. Forgive me, I'm reading it the way it sounds, culminating in the 2028 Republican nominee and even the winner of the general election, if you believe any of that matters. It's all controlled. But that lies off in the distance. Until then, we can only bear the fallout. The ground will quake further. Personality will skirmish harder. Hate will pour stronger. The feud's winners will shift weakly. Now, let me stop here. It says that basically the hate will pour stronger. Here's the problem that you have. When you have a group of people, the international banking cartel, the synagogue of Satan, controlling the strings behind the scenes, that's who does this. They control the scene. They control the truth that they put out. You know, whether it's truth or lies, you don't know, but they're telling you it's the truth from behind the scenes to control everything. The international banking cartel runs the world because they control the finance. They control the stock markets. They control the central reserve banks. They control everything. And without free flow of money, commerce stops. Services and goods stop, and suddenly everybody's contingent saying, well, why do we have a beef shortage? Why is steak $49 a pound, which is ridiculous, by the way? Why are all these things happening all over the world right now? It's all because of the money supply, because the central bankers have learned a long time ago they control the money supply by controlling the interest rates and controlling deflation and inflation through Keynesian economics, which requires that you have about a 6-7% inflation of the money supply every single year until the currency is worth nothing after about 100 years, which is exactly what's happened now with the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. And then goes on to deal, says a notable quote about Owens, "I don't know what happened to you, or maybe you were always a demon." That's funny, in a feuding with Owens. And, you know, I like Candace Owens personally. Erica Kirk, while the turning point U.S. leader, decidedly could have fanned the flames of conspiracy theory after her husband, Charlie's murder in September. If anyone could be forgiven for indulging outlandish theories, is a grieving widow looking for answers. She has pointedly gone the other way, discouraging such theories and even going so far as say people shouldn't harbor hate for his assassination. That's pretty crazy. I think somebody shooting Charlie Kirk was pretty awful. Feuding with Candace Owens and other Kirk conspiracy theorists. Stop. That's it. That's all I have to say, she told Barry Weiss with steely eyes when the latter asked her what she'd say to the Owens issue. Now, then they talk about Laura Loomer, Mark Levin. I was on with Mark Levin one time for about 20 seconds. I kid you not, it was about 20 seconds. I started talking about something. I forgot what it was. He didn't like it. I was done. Now, personally, I don't think that it ever aired. I think he was running a tape to see how I was going to respond to his questions. And when it wasn't what he wanted, he basically stopped the interview. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. Ben Shapiro, I absolutely can't stand him, so I'm not going to bring him up. Joe Rogan, while he's decidedly skewed to the more far right conspiracy theorist direction of the past year by hosting Holocaust denier Daryl Cooper, has very good, by the research, anti-Semitic conspiracy theorist Ian Carroll. And remember, whenever you disagree with somebody, they got to give you a name. They're saying that a Holocaust denier, Daryl Cooper. Well, now they've given him the name. He's a Holocaust denier. So that means anytime he brings up anything, well, he's that Holocaust denier. Well, here's the thing. I don't know, and I'm going to make this statement clear, how many people died in concentration camps in World War II. I wasn't there. Now, I can look at the numbers, and I can realize how many people it would take to basically use a crematory oven to try to, you know, burn millions of bodies. And the research kind of shows that the numbers weren't that high. But it could have been 6 million, it could have been 10 million, it could have been 100 million if you really want to go ridiculous on it. The problem is that if you question the narrative, you get in trouble, and now you're labeled a Holocaust denier. And now you're the anti-Semitic conspiracy theorist Ian Carroll and the vaccine denialist Susan Humphreys. You know, it's unbelievable. You know, it's unreal that these people are being given, that they put labels on them like that. And I understand they're trying to put labels on them so people can remember who they are. And they're trying to basically discredit them or to basically make them less valuable as far as the general population. Steve Bannon, we've forgotten what he said about, well, anything, feuding with who remembers who. Candace Owens, she once worked with Ben Shapiro's Daily Wire. But she started talking about stuff, and she got terminated pretty quick. But those days are long gone. Owens regularly unpools vile anti-Semitic theories because they're talking about international cartels, and that's a vile anti-Semitic theory that would make Henry Ford blush. Henry Ford wrote a book called The International Jew, a booklet, a pamphlet. He wrote multiple books on the international Jews that were running the monetary system and who they were. Henry Ford was buddies with Adolf Hitler. They used to exchange correspondence, and Hitler gave him the highest medal that it could be given to an individual who wasn't in the military to basically reward Henry Ford for his stance against the international Jewish banker conspiracy. Henry Ford had basically been producing his Model T Fords for decades, you know, something similar to them. And all of a sudden, the international bankers decided they were no longer going to floor plan the Fords for the dealerships. People don't realize this. And what happened is Henry Ford didn't know what to do because they tried to take over his company. And so he had to go into the dealer network and start teaching them and showing them how to basically finance their own floor plan for the cars that they were buying from him. And after that, he became a virulent anti-Semite. He did. And because he had had enough of the international banking cartels. Back then, he was going to say what he was going to say, and he was Henry Ford. He was worth so much money, it was unbelievable. And he just did what he said he was going to do. And he attacked these guys. And it says, as with many in this camp, Donald Trump is a clear target. She has called him a chronic disappointment. Choosing a lane where speaking out against Trump for not being hateful enough is more culturally beneficial than sucking up to him. Feuding with Erica Kirk, Ben Shapiro, and many others on the other side of the line. Notable quote. Listen to this. Wake up to who publishes the books and keeps us warring with one another. Christians versus Christians, right? Christians versus Muslims. Wake up and learn the true history of slavery, because that wasn't exactly a white man's sport. Jewish people were the ones who were trading with us. This has been repeatedly, you know, debunked according to this article, but I don't believe that. And then Nick Fuentes. Now, I like a lot of stuff that Nick Fuentes says, some stuff I disagree with, but they really tear into him here. Watch. Where to even start with the most gleefully hateful personality of modern streaming and podcasting? Maybe with his popularity, which, while still not in the major leagues, is growing alarmingly. His founder's nightly America First video shows on Rumble how he is now up to more than 500,000 viewers, a major jump over the 100,000 he had not long ago. Fuentes hasn't changed his tune. Just look at him proudly singing Kanye's Heil Hitler song recently at a Miami nightclub while giving the Nazi salute. Now, I don't know if he did all that, but that's what they're saying about him. Feuding with pretty much everyone, including Jews and women, LGBT people, and who don't believe crazy theory about the Kirk assassination, everyone else he can offend for clicks. Also with J.D. Vance. And okay, I'm going to let you read this. Then it goes into detail with Megyn Kelly. And then it goes into detail with Tucker Carlson. And I've not really seen an article put out like this before. Now, again, it was written, you know, by Hollywood Reporter, this article was, and it's going to skew to the way they want you to believe. That's why they give so many names to so many people. And it's actually very, very sad because of all this crazy stuff. By the way, Israel now, as we mentioned in them a second ago, weighs predominantly and is now weighing preemptive strikes on Iran as differences with the U.S. strategy emerge. Jerusalem's Israel Security Cabinet is approaching a critical decision on how to respond to Iran's advancing military capabilities amid growing concern in Jerusalem that U.S. strategy may diverge from Israeli threat assessments. According to reporting by Wallace, senior Israeli officials are weighing whether to proceed with preemptive military strikes. I mean, they started this last year, got their butts handed to them. And Donald Trump had to come in and kind of salvage the whole thing over there. Is that something they're going to do the same thing again? They're going to basically start a big thing with a big fight with Iran, and the United States have to come bail them out again? It's probably what's going to happen. The debate is unfolding alongside an expanded U.S. military presence in the region, including the deployment of the U.S. Abraham Lincoln carrier strike group. U.S. officials have described the buildup as a deterrent measure, but Israel intelligence assessments suggest concern that the posture could also serve as a leverage for a renewed diplomatic engagement with Tehran rather than a pathway towards military action. Now, what's funny is, and it's not funny, it's actually very sad, the amount of data that is now coming out of the millions and millions of pages yet to be released of the Jeffrey Epstein files. You know, it's funny to me, Pam Bondi, there's nothing to see here, nothing to release. And now they're releasing millions of pages, which trying to release millions of pages of data takes a long time for somebody to sort through. And the crazy part about it is most of the mainstream news medias are not going into detail of what's being released on the Jeffrey Epstein files. Now, I'm going to say this again so you guys can just kind of burn it indelibly into your synapse. There's a book that was written out there, and it's called Dead Men Tell No Tales. Mancal Mueller told me to read it years ago. It was after Jeffrey Epstein died. And they go into detail how Jeffrey Epstein was basically an agent of Israel, how he was Mossad, how he worked for Israel. And it goes into depth on how this happened, with Israel, with Mossad, with Ghislaine Maxwell, who was basically, she's the one who ran Jeffrey Epstein, by the way, I mentioned that to you. And also the fact that, her father was Mossad and is buried on the Mount of Olives, because that's a very high distinguished place to be buried. It's a very limited space up there. And they put him up there. But so you have to ask yourself a question, why in the world is Mossad involved in our politics in the United States? Why is it that he is an agent of Israel and he's got all kinds of our judges and our senators and our congressional leaders and all kinds of other people, that are high up in, our society involved on audio tapes and videotapes with young girls, and he works for Israel? Does anybody not see this? This is not good. Jeffrey Epstein was following his orders as a Mossad agent with what he did. Israel was giving him his orders. Benjamin Netanyahu were giving him his orders because they want to be able to control the people in the United States and control our elections. You see that with AIPAC. If someone doesn't want to support Israel and they're running for office, AIPAC will fund them, fund the person against them by the tens of millions of dollars in order to defeat the person going into politics with us. Now, and then we've got all the dual Israeli senators and congressmen in D.C., Now, I'm not going to pick on Israel on this one. I personally believe, and I've said this many times, if a person is not a U.S. citizen, or if they're a dual citizen with any other country, they don't belong in Congress or the Senate of the United States. They don't need to be our judges in our courts. They have a mixed loyalty. Who are you loyal to? You have a citizenship with Israel, and you have a citizenship with the United States. If we had 20 or 30 senators and congressional leaders in our Congress, in our Senate, that were dual Russian or dual Chinese citizens, all hell would break loose. And what's happened is because the Scofield Reference Bible and Zionism and all these different people 100 years ago were pushing Zionism to get Israel to form as a nation again, to have a non-extradition country for the Rothschilds to hide in and the bankers to hide in. And they pushed the Scofield Reference Bible, making Israel basically the preeminent source of things that are supposed to happen in the end times with Christians. If all that had not happened, there would not be an Israel at this point. And we wouldn't have all of these issues going on. It's because of the conservatives and the conservative Christians who pushed this through the Scofield Reference Bible over 100 years ago that we're running into all of these issues right now. And what happens is, I hate to say this, the baby boomer generation is the one primarily to blame. Because we were the ones who were taught this from a very, very young age. If you were in Assemblies of God church, or if you were in a Baptist church. Now, as a Lutheran, when I was raised, we didn't get all that teaching. And it was so funny to me. I remember, when I started going back to church again when I was in college, I was like 23 years old. And I started going back to a Baptist church, and I was going to these different churches, and they would talk about Israel, and they would talk about the end times. And I'm like, I've never heard any of this in the Lutheran church. Why is this a featured product here? Why are we talking about Israel all the time? I mean, why is this a big deal? Why are we doing this? Why are we supporting this country that's not even a Christian nation or even a Jewish nation? It's a secular state. Why are we doing this? Why is it we are giving all these hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars to a secular state as the number one homosexual destination in the world? Why are we doing this? You know, why are we supporting the people that basically, you know, go into Gaza and just do complete genocide on women and children and go into hospitals with machine guns? And I'm like, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Well, because the Christians have deemed it so. They have said, and I'm a Christian. I'm a very strong Christian. You guys know that. But these Christians that are Zionists, they believe that if you don't bless Israel, the secular state of Israel, which is not the Old Testament Israel, by the way, at all, that you're going to be cursed. Well, that's simply not true. We've started, you know, supporting Israel, you know, back in the 40s. And, you know, we started really catering to them. And all of a sudden we have we gotten better in the United States, or have we gotten worse? And we have absolutely gotten worse. Our school systems are unbelievably bad. Look what happened when they took prayer out of the school back in the 60s. How bad that happened. And look at what happened with, you know, when they gave us abortion back in the 70s. And all these things are basically related to the actual people that are the communists, and are basically, a lot of them are basically supporters of Israel. And you're like, what the heck? And when Israel was founded as a communist state. Now, it's not that way anymore. It's got a lot more free capital and free, you know, free enterprise stuff going on with it. But it was basically founded by the same guys that produced the Russian Revolution and destroyed Russia. And, you know, who run the planet now through their Sabbatean, Kabbalist, Luciferian synagogue of Satan banking systems for the past 100 years. And this is the problem that we have. We have given them undying, unfettered loyalty. Traficant, James Traficant, he came out and started calling them out because of the dual Israelis in Congress and in the Senate, and says they control both houses of the Congress, both houses. And he actually said that on Sean Hannity. So what ends up with him? He ended up going to prison for 7 years. They drummed up a bunch of charges against him, and he went to prison. And until his dying breath, he got basically killed, supposedly. They said when a tractor rolled over on him, which I have no idea whether that's true or not. He basically continued to tell the people the truth about what was going on. And you can see him online. You can look up James Traficant, and you can say, you know who runs the country, who runs the world. You may have to watch it on Rumble now, and maybe take it off of YouTube. But you can see what he has to say. And this was a congressional leader. Look at Marjorie Taylor Greene. She said the same thing. She started talking about Israel. And let me say something to you. When you dig deep enough and you start saying, you know, who's really doing this? What's really going on? You start to realize that there are people out there that are controlling behind the scenes that aren't looking at your best interest. They really don't care about you. They can care about the money. They can care about the greed. And like Marjorie Taylor Greene says, that she now is coming out saying that MAGA, the entire MAGA movement, was a lie. And that Trump is out there basically supporting his top donors right now, and the rest of us don't matter. Now, I have to admit, now she's pretty mad. That's the one thing about her, is she was telling the truth in the beginning. She saw that the truth was not being told, and she stood against the lies that were being told in Washington, and now all of a sudden she's been discredited. The problem is, I can't shut her up. She needs to be really, really careful to maintain good security around her, because she's going out and saying, hey, this is going on, this is going on, this is going on now, and we need to realize it. And when she comes out and she says that you basically have a situation in which the entire MAGA movement was a lie, I don't believe that. And here's why I don't believe that. You've got a group of people out there that are patriots, and they really pushed the MAGA movement. And they were really looking to Donald Trump as their, quote, savior. Now, because remember, a lot of these guys that are in the MAGA movement aren't Christian. They don't go to church. They don't worship Jesus Christ. So they needed to have somebody who was going to be a person that they could count on, they thought, who would basically do what they wanted to have done and bring the country back and restore the Constitution. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with patriotism. There's not. I think it's great. I think we all need to be patriots to stand for our country. The problem that we ran into is that a lot of people who were basically pushing that movement were being funded by the international banks. You know, in 1988, Donald Trump filed bankruptcy. And Wilbur Ross, who worked for Rothschild Inc. at that time, is the one who bailed Trump out of the bankruptcy. Now, all of a sudden, now Trump's beholden to his creditors. The Bible tells us in Proverbs that the borrower is servant to the lender. It's very clear about that, because what happens if somebody calls your note due and you don't have the money? Now you're bankrupt. Now, I'm not saying that Donald Trump hasn't done some good things. And I'm not saying that some of the things that Donald Trump has said aren't good. And I'm not saying that he's, you know, part of this system of the beast that's coming in. But what I am saying is he's facilitating a lot of stuff that shouldn't be facilitated at this point, including the giant AI data centers, including the 5G and the 6G towers that have gone up, including Operation Warp Speed. Don't forget that one. We can't let him off the hook on that one. And I'm saying on January the 6th, a lot of people are still condemning him for that. You know, he had almost 2-3 weeks left of his service term as president of the United States. He could have given a blanket pardon to those people involved in January the 6th. Those people didn't have to get, some of these people were in jail for 4 years. That did not have to happen. Now, I will give him credit. He pardoned them after he got back in office. I'll give him that. But that should have been done before he went into office, period. And so when people are starting to realize is that a lot of what's happening here is not something that, you know, is good, and it's not part of the Patriot movement. By the way, let's just do another health article, because Austin's going to fuss at me because I'm talking too much politics today. Thought I'd mention that. How Jelly Roll lost 300 pounds without Ozempic. Simple swaps make him feel like a teenager again. By the way, Jelly Roll has come in now and has supported and has talked about Jesus Christ at these Grammy Awards and, you know, told everybody that he's a Christian, which I love that. But he looked almost unrecognizable as he collected 3 Grammy Awards on Sunday following an astonishing 300-pound weight loss, which is equivalent to like 140 kilos. The 41-year-old rapper turned country star, who once weighed 550 pounds, has shed more than half his body weight in under 4 years and insists he hasn't used weight loss jabs. He revealed last month how he's now down to 265, crediting exercise and other simple lifestyle tweaks as a catalyst. He said he had lost 70-something pounds after waking up walking and running, eventually training for a 5K. Alternating between the two, he jogged 2 to 3 miles a day, which is really rough on you, by the way, when you're that heavy. He's also praised, you know, the daily sauna sessions and cold plunges. Evidence is mixed, but saunas can lead to short-term water weight loss. Though I don't recommend using saunas for weight loss. I don't think that's healthy. I think it's just, like they say, temporary water loss. He also wanted to lose weight naturally without the use of Ozempic or other weight loss drugs due to the risk of acid reflux, a common side effect of the medication. It's absolutely true. Every doctor I've talked to is for it, he said on the Dumb Blonde podcast. Didn't make that up. It says Dumb Blonde. They said it helps. I was just afraid of it. As a singer, a few things scare me more than only a few things scare me more than acid reflux. Like, you watch me get up out of bed. You know, I'm not going to go into detail with this. And he actually lost all of that weight by changing his diet. But I want to give him a shout out on that because of the fact that, you know, he basically is always talking about Jesus. And I think it's absolutely amazing that he's done that, and I'm really happy for him to get those awards, because I think he's a pretty amazing guy. Now, let's see here. Here's another interesting article. Go to a spiritual one today. The Church of England exorcisms mark a return. They're actually allowing people now to have demons exorcised out of them from the Church of England and giving the clergy permission to do all of this stuff. Now, I didn't realize the Church of England was really involved in that because of how it was founded against the Catholic Church. But the Catholic Church has also been very involved with it. And I know that a lot of people are now realizing that we're having a lot of demonic influence in the world today. When we covered this on Angel Wars, we talked about this. And once you understand that we have a group of entities that are in another dimension that are basically controlling us and what we do here. And these entities, these fallen angels, if you want to call them that or whatever you'd like to call them, you can call them aliens if you'd like, they're calling out the course of directions of the people on the planet, and they also get their energy from human sacrifice. And they don't have any type of respect for human beings because you're created in God's image. They are not created in God's image. They are jealous that you're created in God's image, and they really hate God. They really hate Jesus. That's why when Jelly Roll calls them out at one of their own meetings like that, I love it when he talks about Jesus. Because when he does that, it lets them know that not everybody's going to bow a knee to Baal. As for me and my household, we're going to serve the Most High God. We're going to serve Jesus, period. And people need to understand that, because if we don't, then we're going to be in a situation that basically is going to be a mess if we don't do that, especially for all eternity. Now, I'm going to read you this from The Hill. This is what Marjorie Taylor, Representative Taylor Greene, says, that the MAGA thing was all of it was a lie, and that, that basically all the things that she thought that she was going to be involved with and that she wanted to do simply did not happen. Former representative, she says, the big, big donors that donated all the money and continue to donate the president's PACs are the ones that are being taken care of. She said former Representative Major Green said President Trump's Make America Great Again slogan was a lie, saying his first year back is all about the big donors. You know, and what's funny about this, you know, she basically has tried to be the one that was the voice of reason initially with the MAGA movement. And by the way, just thought I'd meant to say this. This webpage that I'm reading right now crashed. Now, that's the problem doing a live show. If you don't have the printout out, you basically can't, you know, be the one reading it when it goes down. So either everybody in the world is reading that right now and they don't want people talking about it, and or I'm doing a broadcast on it right now and they decide they don't want me talking about it, which is kind of interesting. And you know, and here's another good article. It says that Rosenberg nails it, and we're talking about gold and silver now. He says we're gonna have dips in gold and in silver. They call it bounces. And he says he's not saying that a $6,000 an ounce gold is not going to happen, and he goes into detail on all this stuff. I've got this article posted so you guys can read through it. Now, by the way, on the Grammys, Trump now is threatening to sue the Grammys after Noah, apparently some guy named Noah, has said the president visited Epstein Island with Bill Clinton. Now, whether that's true or not true, I don't know. I don't care. There was a house in Manhattan that Epstein had. Trump and him were best buddies. I wasn't involved with what they were doing. But the thing about it is, this is a long, long time ago that all this stuff happened. But should these people be brought to justice? Would you at least know who they were? Absolutely, yes. And by the way, Nancy Mace is not okay. This is an article. Now, she's a Republican. She's a candidate for governor now in South Carolina. And she's I read a couple of articles from her, and I went to her Wikipedia page, and she's saying something is broken. The motherboard is fried, and we're short-circuiting somewhere. And she's apparently got some problems as far as the things that she wants to say. And she basically is now was in Congress. Now she wants to run for governor, and she's lost Trump's endorsement. And I'm going to let you read this yourself, because I'm not going to say too much about her, because I just started doing the research on that this morning. But she sounds like she's a real mess to me. She really does. Another article here says governments can fix money fast. Here is why they will not do it. Now, I alluded to this earlier. It says the markets have been rocked by the news of possible intervention to control the Japanese yen slump after it reached a 40-year low relative to the U.S. dollar. Fixing the yen and any other fiat currency is simple. Implement an Austrian approach. Eliminate constant deficit spending and the monetization of government outlays, and implement clear, sound money policies to support the purchasing power of the currency. They're missing one big point here. You have to nationalize the currency. You have to take the Federal Reserve and get rid of it, period. And the government has to print the money like it was supposed to, because Congress was given that right to do that in our Constitution, and they took that right and they gave it to the Federal Reserve Bank. Whenever you give another entity the power to print your currency, you give them the right to print, charge the government interest for that currency. The interest is never printed, nor is it put into circulation. So it creates a national debt, because the government has to borrow more and more money just to pay the interest that was never printed. So without printing the interest, it doesn't work. In 1933, 1934, 1935, the Third Reich, they basically did exactly what I'm telling you to do. They nationalized the currency, and they started giving debt-free currency. Debt-free interest. They were able to do the entire war effort, including the expansion through the entire 30s, without any government debt. They were giving zero loans, zero interest loans from the banks to build houses, for armaments, for people to get cars. Nobody had to pay interest. Think about that. If we had trillions of dollars that are being paid now in interest to the Federal Reserve banks, but the Federal Reserve banks are smart. They don't just charge us interest and the government the interest. The government sells bonds to pay these interests, and, you know, T-bills and treasury bills and all these other debt instruments to other countries to absorb our debt. That way they differentiate themselves in case the United States government decides, hey, we're not going to pay this anymore. We have all these other countries that have signed onto our debt now, so our government can't just unilaterally make that decision. It's a real mess. So when it says governments can fix money fast, here's why they won't do it, because they're on a Keynesian economic basis. In other words, here it goes. The best a citizen can expect today is a mild form of Keynesian economics that aims for lower taxes, a relatively lower spending, and a constant expansion of the money supply in order to cover the debt from the interest as a driver of economic growth. Even this lesser evil approach ends with malinvestment, financial crises, and more politicians demanding public investment as the solution. Governments avoid sound money and controlling spending because these choices can hurt them politically right away, while using inflation interventionist models allows them to take a lot of wealth from citizens and give it to themselves and their favorite industries. Why is it that so many of these people go into Congress and they're broke? They literally have a few $10,000 in net worth. They come out 10, 20 years later, and they're worth hundreds of millions of dollars. It's because they're on the lam, a lot of them. They're basically being given money by the same institutions that they're being told to regulate. You know, we see this with the American Academy of Pediatrics now that is suing the government because of the and they're being sued for racketeering by the government because they're trying to stop HHS from basically regulating the amount of vaccines that are being given. So all of this stuff, when you allow an industry to self-regulate, when you allow an industry to take care of itself, you give them unwanted power. But give a perfect example. There's a thing called an ESTA, you know, which is like a travel document you get if you're in the European Union. And it gives you the right to come in the United States for 90 days. And then you have to leave the United States, go to another country like, you know, South America or Africa or back to Germany or back to Europe or back to anywhere else. And then you come back into the United States for another 90 days. Now, you can only do that twice, and then you got to be out of the United States for 6 months. They give these people, these border control places, the total autonomy to decide anything you want to do, that they want to do. So if they tell you, we deem it so that you can't do this, they can stop you from coming back into the United States. They can say, no, you have to go back to your home country. If you're from Czechoslovakia, you got to go to Czechoslovakia. You can't come back into the United States. If you're from Italy, you got to go back to Italy. And it gives this border person the control to do whatever they want to do. When you do that in government and you allow the government to regulate itself and do whatever it wants to do, you get this. You get a $30, $40 trillion deficit. Now, the problem is when Bill Clinton balanced the budget, and when Ronald Reagan tried to balance the budget, and, you know, and Richard Nixon tried to balance the budget, and you basically pull the money out of the budget to pay the interest, you decrease the money supply because the interest has never been printed, and you put the country into a recession. It happens every single time. And the problem is the banks no longer have the money to loan out on their fractional reserve system because they have to maintain a certain amount of money in the bank account in order to loan out on a fractional reserve system. So a balanced budget the way we have it in the United States right now is completely impossible without putting us into a massive depression. Unless you nationalize the currency, get rid of the Federal Reserve, and put some people basically in the government like Congress in charge of this, if you can find congressional leaders that are completely not compromised. That's the biggest problem you're going to have, because it may get worse if they do it. They may actually increase the money supply. But guys, I want to thank you, you know, for supporting Health Masters. I want to thank you for getting your endocytocysteine from us. We covered that in detail. I covered that in detail this morning. I want to thank you for praying for us. If it wasn't for you guys praying for us and supporting us, we couldn't be here to do the show. Now, Austin will be back with me tomorrow. You know, we basically just both of us need to take a little bit of break, and he's done really well the last, you know, I guess he's been by himself now for 3 days on the show. And, you know, it takes a lot of work to put a program like this together. And if it wasn't for you guys watching it and supporting us, we couldn't be here. Now, I always try to bring something to you that's a little bit different than just health. And the reason for that is we need to realize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and that this is the day the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it, because we have complete and total hope in He who created the heavens and the earth. The entities that run this planet, they're only here for a finite period of time. We get to be with God for all of eternity, forever, with our friends and our family when we're there. So just keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life, and realize that we can do everything through Christ who strengthens us. You know, stay in church. Pray with your children every day. You know, a lot of studies have shown now that, you know, over about 70% of the people who get married who claim to be Christians, and many of them are Christians, they get divorced. And they find out that the ones who pray together every single day out loud, that 99% of them stay together. They don't get divorced. So pray with your spouse. Remember I talked about the synergy at the beginning of the show. A cord of three strands, you, your wife, and the Holy Spirit, is not easily broken. The word says that. It uses those words. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. Stay together with your wife. Remember, it's you and your wife. It's you and your husband against the rest of the world. It really is. And with you and your husband and the Holy Spirit and God involved with your life, you can fight it together and stay together and be strong all of the days of your life. Thank you for continuing to pray for us. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for being here for us. Thank you for giving us a little bit of slack and letting us take some time off. But we'll be back together again tomorrow. I love you guys. I really, really appreciate you. Remember, N-acetylcysteine is on sale only through today, and you get it at the office for almost 25% off. I really, really think you guys are amazing. Thank you for your continued prayers. And I want you to know something. I love you. I'll talk to you tomorrow.